Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel and the Opel Commercial Vehicles range. We have your van.
What happened in Kanturk yesterday with the deaths of three men in the O'Sullivan family, apparently at the hands of one of them, leaves most of us speechless. But not all of us. Gardaí arrived into what they had good reason to believe might be a hostage situation and sought a media blackout. It was observed by print, online and broadcast outlets, but not on social media. The community in Kanturk, struggling now with the violent consequences of what some believe to be a dispute over land, but should we also be grappling with the consequences of unfettered access to say what you like, when you like, and without basis on facts on social media? I'm joined by media law expert Andrea Martin and by Neil Michael, reporter with the Irish Examiner. But the first voice I want to hear from, underlining just how hard it is for most people to articulate their emotions in Kanturk today, is the assistant PRO of Castlemagner GAA Club, where both O'Sullivan brothers played up to a young age, and that's Paul Gallagher. Here's what he told RT Radio a little earlier.
Mark and Dermot played underage. They would have went to school, the local school, Ballyhass National School, and they would have played in the, for the school teams, and they would have played juvenile then, let's say, with our club, Croke Rovers, at a young age. Yeah, so they'd have had involvement, certainly, with the club. Normally, we're used to hearing these stories or watching them on the TV rather than actually seeing them outside your window. So it just brings it all very much home.
Neil Michael, reporter with the Irish Examiner, good morning. When the Gardaí were called yesterday, they were walking into a situation where they didn't really know exactly what it was that was going on and established not just one but two cordons immediately.
Probably around about ten past six, there's a gunshot rings out at the farm. Anne O'Sullivan, the 60-year-old nurse who was the mother of the two men that died and the wife of Ty, she managed to get out of the house, and it took her about 20 minutes to get to a neighbouring house. Bear in mind, she only recently left hospital after surgery, very major surgery. She appears not to have known exactly what was going on inside the house, other than the fact that a firearm had been discharged and she believed that one of her sons had been injured. About 6:40, Gardaí from the nearby market town of Kanturk are alerted, and they're then told that Ty, Mark and Dermot are present in the house and that one of them might have suffered gunshot wounds. By the time they arrive at around 7 o'clock, two more shots are heard in the area. And I think at that stage, they must have believed that there was people still in the farm buildings itself and that there was potentially a hostage had been taken. They obviously had a certain amount of intelligence from Mrs. O'Sullivan, which helped kind of colour how they were going to deal with the situation. And that's why they would have waited till about 12:30 before deciding, do you know what, we can't get hold of anybody, it's time to move in. And then literally about an hour later, thanks to the police helicopter hovering overhead, they found the bodies of the two by the ferry fort.
But throughout all of that time, throughout the morning, they didn't know what was going on inside. They didn't know what, if any, contact with the outside world, whoever was in there, had, did they?
They can't have, and in fact, even at the time by the time myself and other colleagues from different newspapers arrived, there were all manner of stories coming out and conclusions being drawn about what was actually happening. I mean, at one point it was believed that the boys had a sister who had been injured or who had escaped, or that the mother had been. There was a general understanding that there were still people in the farmhouse and that a hostage had been taken.
And Gardaí believing, I presume at this point, that any of that kind of speculation finding a wider audience would be unhelpful, called for a media blackout.
Absolutely. And they would have understandably assumed that whoever they thought would be in the house in situations like this could very well be monitoring social media or be listening to the news and what have you. And yeah, in situations like this, and we do get an awful lot of these requests from the Garda Press Office, you know, we're asked not to report anything, because obviously we get calls from people in various areas where there is an ongoing situation. And the last thing you want to do is make the situation even worse and, you know, to take away any control that the guards might on the ground might have. And bear in mind, they've years, decades of experience of this kind of thing, so they don't need any outside interference from the media or, well, in whatever form it takes. Mm.
Did you see, and we don't need to re-ventilate it here now, but did you see any of the speculation on social media yourself?
The only time I knew that it was going on was when I was looking at the way things were unfolding by the farm. I think they had just found the bodies. The helicopter was overhead, and I was on the phone to somebody, and somebody came up to me and said, why haven't you reported on this? I asked, who you work for, and why haven't you reported? I said, well, we can't. There's a media blackout. And they went, oh, well, it's all over social media. And I thought, all right, here we go.
Okay. Do we know why it is that Gardaí now believe that they are investigating, obviously a murder-suicide, but a land dispute as well?
The Gardaí were called to this farm about 2 or 3 weeks ago. There had been a dispute. It's centred around a dispute about inheritance. And I understand the dispute, the row that took place about 2 or 3 weeks ago was so bad that Mrs. O'Sullivan and one of her sons, Mark, after she came back from Dublin where she was being treated, they went to stay with a local family, and they left and they returned to the farm at about 4 p.m. on Sunday afternoon. And later on in the evening, one of the local friends had contacted her asking her, how is everything? So they were obviously concerned about how things were in the farm, and they were assured that everything was calm. And that was obviously, that calm was obviously shattered a few hours later when the shotgun rang out.
And are those all of the facts then as we know them so far, or is there anything to add to it?
It very much appears that it is a dispute over inheritance, and that is pretty much it. And that's hence the fact that the guards are not looking for anybody else in connection with this particular incident.
Andrea Martin, media law expert, I'm not suggesting for one moment that we know what was going on inside the farmhouse, or if there was any contact with the outside world, if they were observing what was going on social media or were aware of any of this at all. But I suppose to anybody with your set of credentials looking at this from the outside, the spectre of Abby Lara 16 years ago would hang pretty large over it. Hello, Andrea, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
I've got you there now. Sorry, Andrea, did you hear my question?
I did indeed, Philip. Thank you. And sorry about that blip. Yes, the Abby Lara situation was one where a media blackout was called for, and there was an inadvertent breach of that blackout, which led to significant complications, and the journalist in that case was held to account. But I think what's really important to understand is that a blackout is a call for a blackout is where Gardaí call on journalists to exercise their own personal responsibility in the public interest. There is no law. There are no fines or prosecutions for breaking a blackout. It's based on an understanding that it is in the public interest and in the interest of the safety of individuals in a hostage situation that there be a media blackout. In this case, it's clear that that was observed by the traditional media, but it does, and I prefer to say to the professional media, but social media became an issue because people were speculating on social media, and anybody in the house would probably have had equal access to social media as they would have had to any other form of media. It does raise a very interesting question about the credibility of professional media over social media, because time and again, journalists get into trouble because listeners, viewers will say, I'm getting more from social media than I am for you. You're not doing your job. Whereas, in fact, the journalist might be doing their job. But it may be more in the public interest to hold back on the details of a story at that particular point in time than to just spill out any sort of effectively gossip or rumour online. So it raises problems that the journalists are caught between a rock and a hard place. They're doing the responsible thing. They're cooperating with the Garda request. And at the same time, they're getting pressure from listeners and viewers and online consumers of news saying, why aren't you giving us the information and the detail that the that social media is giving? And that's about the credibility of that is the core of the credibility of traditional professional media.
And we can't expect individual social media users to be up on the finer points of what it is that journalists do and why it is that they would withhold facts for a limited period of time on certain occasions. But we can expect that of the social media platforms themselves. Yet they stick, don't they, to this position that we're not a publisher in the traditional sense. We're just a platform. We have absolutely no control over what's said here.
Yes, effectively, that's what they're doing. But it does raise a difficulty in that a bit like the pandemic regulations and guidelines, where the Gardaí are very much going on the four levels of E, encouragement, education, and enforcement is only the final one. If people don't exercise personal responsibility, it strengthens the necessity or demand, it strengthens the argument for bringing in laws that enforce particular behaviour. And once you bring in enforcement legislation, you open up another whole area of discussion about the implications for freedom of expression. Because the minute the platforms are asked to shut down, there's a discussion about interference with freedom of expression online. Mm. So the preferable position is for people to exercise personal responsibility. However, I do think that there is a case for saying that, I mean, the social media platforms have the technological capacity to do this.
They do have the capacity to do this.
To do
because,
yeah.
Well, I mean, I know for a matter of fact that if you right now tried to put the name of the complainant in the Ulster Rugby rape trial into any social media platform, you won't get anything. Nothing will be returned in your search because the social media platforms have engineered it as such. So presumably they can, at short notice, put a similar ban, maybe Can Turk or shooting or hostage situation or something like that on, until it's known that it's safe to allow that information to be disseminated.
I think that, and I believe that it is likely that they have that a capacity. And in fairness, they have responded in other situations where court cases are ongoing, including the one that you mentioned, whereby they can respond. But it certainly does raise the question of whether they need to be brought into the discussion about their role in responding to these situations. Their position is likely to be that they will resist it and say no, or maybe the notice board that people pin notices up on, to use a physical analogy rather than a digital one. And I think this demonstrates that no, they have a greater role and responsibility.
Neil, do you know what happens next in terms of the further investigation by Gardaí of this case, or is it a done deal?
Unfortunately, I think it probably sounds very much like a done deal, but I mean, it is a criminal investigation, and obviously they have to follow, you know, the usual course of events.
But, and establish as many of the facts as possible.
And like all these things, it'd be a learning exercise for the Gardaí as well as anything else.
Neil Michael, thank you very much, and Andrea Martin as well.